Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Love Rules. Our message today, can I get a witness? And our text is Acts, the 9th chapter, 1 through 6. Acts 9, 1 through 6, if you have your Bibles. It's about Paul's conversion. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what to do." The story of Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus is so dramatic as to be off-putting. Saul, a zealous Jew who has been breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, is on his way to round up even more of his enemies, believers in the way, that's what they called them back then, when he is struck down by a flash of light, blinded for 3 days. So he falls to the ground, and then he hears this voice. "Why are you persecuting me, Saul?" And he's just trying to find out who's talking. And the reply is, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting." This is the kind of conversion story that can make many of us feel small. Because who among us has experienced such a dramatic call from God? Now, I've heard of a few of these kind of stories. I have a friend who says he turned to God after he was instantly healed of a heroin addiction. Like that, instantaneously. But most of us, if pressed to share our story, would say, "Well, I was brought up in the church," or "my mama introduced me to the Lord," or "my grandmama told me about Jesus." And even if something like this has happened to you, something dramatic, more than likely, I'm not sure you'll tell anybody because people will think you're crazy. Author William Mule takes it a step further in his book, Why Preach, Why Listen. He suggests that if you look around the typical church on any given Sunday, you can be sure that many of those sitting in the pews almost didn't come. There are a number of reasons for that, but Mule points to what he calls a faith inferiority complex. Many of us believe that our faith doesn't measure up to the faith of those around us. Then you hear this story from Paul and you think, "Boy, I just need to go home because, oh my goodness." So here's the question I want to ponder for a few minutes today. If God intervenes in such dramatic ways as he did with Saul, then why didn't it happen to me? Why doesn't it happen to thousands of others? Does God have favorites? Or am I just coasting along under God's radar? I have friends and relatives who are convinced if they walk inside a church, they're going to be struck dead with bolts of lightning. What's more likely, they will walk in and nothing dramatic at all will happen. But does this mean they're not being called by God? Well, first of all, let's look at what's happening with Saul. We need to remember, as he was transformed from Saul into Paul, the apostle would become second only to Jesus in shaping Christianity into what it's become. Without a doubt, he was the man for the job. Saul was educated, a great thinker, already very religious, a Pharisee, interpreters and protectors of the law. He was worldly. Saul was the perfect person to move Christianity out into the world. Just think about that. Look at his background. He was what God wanted and what God needed for what God wanted to do. And I think God is very particular in who he calls. He has a customized plan for each of us. So God calls you depending on what he wants from you, and he sets you up just for what he wants you to do. But here's something else to consider. The main character in Paul's story, in Saul's story, is not Paul. It's not Saul. It's God. It's God who sets up the circumstances, and it's God who changes lives. The one thing that is clear is that nothing short of the power of God would turn Saul from someone breathing threats and murder against the disciples into someone who proclaimed Jesus. Galatians 1:15, God set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. So God knew exactly what he was doing when he called Saul, and God knew exactly what he was doing when he called you. First of all, we're all called. I don't care what you've read. I don't care what a form of tradition you have been taught. I believe, and I think this is just borne out in our lives, that God calls us all. The problem is never with the transmission. It's with the reception. People who don't know God just don't listen because God is calling us all. But you need to remember that when you're struggling during your walk, when you're having challenges, don't forget that God called you. Bible says, I chose you. You did not choose me. Now, there are some people who say God elects only some people. But again, I would argue God calls all of us. I am so thankful you've joined us today. Remember, Love Rules is totally listener supported. Won't you make a donation right now to keep this program on the air? Log on to RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org and click on Giving. That's RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org. Click on Giving. Thank you. God bless you. God who created the world is also the God who intervenes. It's easy to forget that. God who creates is the same God who preserves his creation, who cooperates with his creation, and guides all things toward the accomplishment of God's ultimate purpose. If God simply created the world and then walked away and left us to our own designs, what would have happened? I don't think we've gotten very far without God. God preserves God's creation by sustaining it. That means that divine energy continues to unfold that ensures that God's creation is sustained. That means it's maintained, it's upheld, and it's preserved. The psalmist expresses it best. I lie down and I sleep, I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. And again, this affects us. When God called Ananias to go talk to Saul, and you need to read the whole story of Saul's conversion, Ananias questioned why God would choose Saul at all. He says, Lord, really? Are you serious? I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name. But God says, wait a minute, Ananias, I've got this. I'm God. I know what I'm doing. Our most appropriate response to what God is doing is, who are we that God is mindful of us? But God initiates this process. You would never have come to Jesus if he hadn't come out after you. You know, that's why Presbyterians baptize babies, because we believe God knew us long before we knew God. God has a purpose for everybody. Now, we may be confused over our purpose. What am I supposed to do? Should I be teaching? Should I be in a corporate world? Should I sing? What are my gifts? I used to be confused when I first went to seminary because I didn't know what to do. I'm a communicator. I'm a reporter. But God wanted me to be a storyteller right here and now. Frederick Buechner says, you are answering God's call when your joy meets the world's needs. Paul said, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. But Paul also said, whatever you do, whether it's eating or drinking or sleeping, do it to the glory of God. Our purpose is simple. We are all called to glorify God. Don't think because you didn't have a lightning flash or a blinding knockdown experience on the road to Damascus that your story is not critical. However God called you, you know, my story is over years. There wasn't any one experience. I always say it started with the birth of my son, which was 29 years ago. But then there was the idea of getting off television. Then there was the trip to Sudan, and all of that kind of happened over time. And there was no one moment when I could say, this is it. But I know that my story is a witness to Jesus. And yours is too. Remember, Ananias is called by God. Not just Saul, but Ananias. He was called. There were no lightning flashes, no blinding moments. He was given instructions that he really didn't feel good about. But he was obedient anyway. Our most important day-to-day task as Christians is to remain open to God, listening for God, looking for God. When God prods us, when God touches us or pricks our spirit, there might be a light that turns on within us. Our task, our job is to look for that light and then to have a willingness to follow it. You know, I tell my young students at Roxbury Presbyterian Church that intuition can be from God. Now, you have to be discerning and understand, you know, the Bible so that you understand if intuition is moving you toward God or away from God. But intuition can be from God. Don't have a faith inferiority complex. It's not about what your neighbor is doing. You witness your truth. You witness your story. You witness what you've experienced. And don't think your story is unimportant. You have a witness from whoever you were to whatever you're becoming to what God wants you to be. And it's an extraordinary witness, not because of you, but because of God. That's why I want everybody to be able to tell their story. At Roxbury Presbyterian Church, storytelling is really important. It's what we do in our trauma work. It's what we do in our Bible study. It's what we do in all of our ministries. We want to share our stories so that we get to know each other, but also so that we can witness to each other and support each other and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through each other. You have a witness. I promise you, you do. You need to share it. First, you need to know it, and then you need to share it. Can I get a witness? Thanks for joining me. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will rain if you let me.